'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
Todd'sville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
In Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, the Apostle Paul asks this question, and it's a very interesting question. Wherefore then serveth the law? What is the purpose of God's law? Now, he had already established that no one can be saved by it, but he says, if that's the case, what is the purpose of the law? Now, by the law, I mean, or Paul means, all of God's law. The moral law, the Ten Commandments, the dietary laws, the sacrificial laws, the ceremonies, the feast days. You can't separate God's law. You can't pull it apart. You can't say, well, we're not under the law of ceremony, but we're still under the moral law. No, the law is one. And that is seen even in the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, you have the law of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was on a Saturday. And you could do no work at all. And if you're under that law, if you do any work, you're to be stoned. Now, that's what the law says. When people put up copies of the Ten Commandments, oh, I love God's holy law. I love the Ten Commandments. They express God's holy character. But I sure don't want to be under that law. I'm in trouble if I am, and you are too. Wherefore serveth the law? Now, in the law, there were actually 600 commandments. There were 22 sins that called on capital punishment, death. Why, if a child was disobedient and rebellious, he was to be stoned. Now, this is the law that we're talking about, God's holy law. Now, Paul said in Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, if I'm under law, that means if I don't keep it perfectly, I am under God's curse. Now, Paul had clearly set forth the fact that we could not be saved by the law. If you would think that you could be saved by keeping this law, you have no understanding. If I think that I can be saved by keeping this law, I have no understanding of what the law is even saying. Now, why then is there law if we can't be saved by it, if it was never intended for that purpose? And it wasn't. Look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the law could never give life. So, what's the purpose of all these rules, these commandments, these sacrifices, these ceremonies? What is the purpose of the law? It does have a purpose. Just because it was never meant to save doesn't mean it does not have a purpose. Steel was never meant to be eaten, but it still has a purpose. We make cars and things with it. So there is a purpose of the law. What is it? Paul actually said in 1 Timothy 1, 8, 9, the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law was not made for a righteous man, but for sinners, for ungodly, for the disobedient. He goes on to name a litany of sins that the law exposes. The law was not made for a good man. A good man doesn't need law. He's not going to steal from you. He's not going to kill you. He's not going to commit adultery against you or some kind of sexual sin. He's not going to covet what's yours if he loves you. The law was not made for a good man, but for a sinner, for a lawless man. What would this society be like if we didn't have laws and anybody could just do whatever they wanted to do? Why, you couldn't go out your door. The law is made because of sin, because of sinners. Now, before seeing what the law is, it'll be helpful to us to see what the law was never intended to do. I've already touched on this, but the law was never intended for men to try to keep it to be saved. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But that was never intended in the first place. We read this in Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The problem's not with the law, the problem's with my flesh. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, does that mean that if you have the Holy Spirit, you're now able to keep the law? No. Walking in the Spirit is looking to Christ only as your righteousness before God. That's what it is to walk in the Spirit. It's to look to Christ. That is the fulfilling of the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, not our personal obedience. I love what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. He said, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, which is of my personal law-keeping, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now, the law was never intended to give life. And this destroys the idea of dispensationalism, that there was a law dispensation, and when that didn't work, then there was a grace dispensation. There has always only been one way of salvation, and that is the way of Christ. The law does not sanctify. Not only can it not make you righteous or give you a righteousness before God, the law does not sanctify. It gives no power to obey. All it recognizes is perfect righteousness. It doesn't sanctify. It doesn't give power to obey. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 12, or verse 11, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident." It's evident. "For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." The law does not deliver anybody from the dominion of sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, we read, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace." Now, if you're under law, you're under the complete dominion and domination of sin. Now, listen to this. The law is not even given as our rule of life. The Ten Commandments. I love God's law. I love the Ten Commandments. It's an expression of God's holy character. But the Ten Commandments were not given as a rule of life. And let me say a couple of things about that. Somebody says, "Are you saying it's okay to break God's law?" No, I'm not saying it's okay to break God's law. It's never okay to break God's law. But I know in my heart, every time I read the Ten Commandments, I know that all I do is break them in my heart. Every single one of them. I've not kept one commandment one time. And neither of you. If you think you have, you demonstrate an ignorance of the holiness of God's law and the holiness of God. Paul said, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin, a slave to sin. And all the law does is expose my sin. It's not my rule of life. All I have done is broken it. You know, when I tell the truth, I tell the truth in such a way as to make myself look better. And there's always a little slant to it. Whatever I do, if I do it, it's sin. John put it this way in 1 John 1. He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we've not sinned regarding anything we've done, if we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, because he says we have. So the law is not my rule of life. And I'm thinking about the commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Have you ever put anything before God? Are you doing it now? What about the law regarding idolatry and no graven images? Have you made false conceptions of God to make you more comfortable with yourself? What about the law regarding not taking his name in vain? Anytime I use his name, if I don't have the proper reverence, I'm taking his name in vain. I don't know what it is to rest completely, like the rest of the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. Have you ever dishonored your parents or any of God's placed given authority? Thou shalt not kill. Have you ever murdered somebody's character by innuendo or even by silence when you should be speaking up for them? Thou shalt not commit adultery. To even lust after a woman in your heart or to lust after a man in your heart is committing adultery in the very sight of God. Thou shalt not steal. Have you ever stole time on the job? Have you ever loafed? Have you ever robbed God of glory? Thou shalt not lie. Where you stand there, have you ever exaggerated? Have you ever not told the truth? Thou shalt not covet. How can you stop from desiring something? You see, the Ten Commandments, God's holy law, they're not given as a rule of life. They're given to expose sin. And listen to this. I don't try to keep God's holy law. I've kept it. Because when Christ kept it, I did too. That's why I don't fear God's law. Now, I fear God's law apart from Christ, because Christ came to fulfill that law, and he fulfilled it in every jot and tittle. But I did too, because when he kept the law, I kept it as well. I delight in the law of God after the inner man, just like Paul said he did in Romans chapter 7. Now, so we see that there's some things the law was never intended to do. It was never intended to save us or make us righteous or be a rule of life, or it gives no power to obey. All it does is condemn. Well, what does the law do then? You tell me what it doesn't do. What does the law do? Well, here's the purpose of the law. First, it reflects God's holy character. Oh, how I admire and love the law of God. It reflects God's holy character and his holy requirements. It demands absolute perfection. God can accept nothing less. And this makes us admire God for how he is, how he's seen in his law. And the primary purpose of the law is to expose sin. That's what the law does. It exposes sin. All it can do is condemn. It exposes sin. What about somebody who's never heard the law? What about somebody in some other country who has never heard the Ten Commandments and knows nothing about them? Well, everybody's got the law written in their heart. Everybody knows it's wrong to commit adultery. Everybody knows it's wrong to steal. Everybody knows it's wrong to kill. In every society, people are born with that understanding. Listen to this scripture in Romans chapter 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, they've never seen a copy of the Ten Commandments, they've never seen a copy of the Bible, they have not the law, but they do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which shows the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, either making them feel guilty or trying to come up with an excuse for why I acted that way. I just had a bad day, or I had a weak moment, and always coming up with some kind of excuse. But all the law does is expose sin. The law is given to show us our inability. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, what we are by nature, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They completely lack the ability to please God. The law shows me of my inability to do anything but sin. Romans 4:15 says the law worketh wrath. The wrath of God to punish all lawbreakers. And it works wrath in man. Men become resentful of God because of the strict requirements of His law. The law is kind of like having a, if you're under the law, it's kind of like a woman being married to a man. And we're married to the law coming into birth. We're all required to keep God's law. We're under the law. But it's like being married to a man who does nothing but criticize, condemn, find fault. Who would want to be married to somebody like that? But that's what the law does. And the law slays all hopes of self-salvation. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. You know, in Galatians chapter 4, Paul says, tell me, you that desire to be under law, don't you hear the law? Don't you hear what it says? All it does is condemn you. And when he gives this example, he doesn't name the Ten Commandments. He tells the story of Abraham and Sarah, Hagar and Ishmael. You will remember that God made a promise to Abraham, you're going to have a son. And they waited years, and Sarah said, well, evidently, we need to do our part for that promise to take place, so you don't go on into Hagar. You can have her, and you can have a child through her. Sarah had already gone through menopause. It was impossible for her to have a child, so you just go into Hagar. He did that. He had Ishmael. And God never acknowledged Ishmael as a true son. And then when he went into Sarah, God came back again. You're going to have a son through her. And he, who was 100 years old, went into this woman who was 90 and had already gone through menopause, and they had a supernatural son. Now, the law is any aspect of salvation being dependent upon you doing your part. It's not just the Ten Commandments. If any aspect of salvation is dependent upon you, you're under law. Right down to an act of your free will, your decision to accept or reject Jesus. If that's what your salvation is, you are under law. You know nothing of the freedom of grace, and you can't be saved as long as you're under law. If you think salvation is dependent upon you accepting Christ, He died for everybody, but it's up to you as to whether or not you accept Him or reject Him. If you're saved, it's because you've accepted Him, and if somebody is lost, it's because they rejected Him. No real understanding of the death of Christ, what He actually accomplished on Calvary's tree. That's works. That's all it is. In the middle of your salvation, if you think you can make yourself more holy by your obedience to the law, that's works. If at the end of your salvation, if you think that you can get a higher reward in heaven because of your works of personal obedience here upon earth, that's works too. And as far as that goes, how could you have such a high opinion of your works that you think that they would merit some kind of higher reward? Would it be better than Christ? In His righteousness? No, all the law does is slay all hopes of self-salvation. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, Paul says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Now, in my King James Version, this is one of the reasons I love the King James Version, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us is in italics. It's in italics. And that means the translators put it there, but it wasn't in the original. They were simply making an attempt to make it more understandable. The law was our schoolmaster. And here's the way this could read. The law was our schoolmaster until Christ. Now, the word schoolmaster wasn't a teacher. It was somebody employed by a wealthy Greek family to watch their son wherever he went. That pedagogue is the word. Went. And when he got out of line, that pedagogue would discipline him. He would restrain him from doing things that he would have done if he wasn't around. I mean, he would He would hit him. He had the ability to do whatever he wanted with that boy to keep him in line, and he was hired by his parents to do that. Now, the law was our schoolmaster. If there were no law, what would you do? You'd say, open up the doors, I'm going to be as evil as I want to be, and there's no consequences. That's the way every natural man is. But when you come to be saved by His grace and you come to love Christ, you don't need a schoolmaster anymore. You love Christ. You have His Spirit. You want to honor Him. But if all I got is law, all I got is misbehavior, it doesn't do anything else. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You see, if I'm under the law, all I'm showing by that is that I don't have the Spirit of God. The strength of sin is the law. And as long as somebody's under law, it's going to bring them away from Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 4 says, Christ is the end of the law. He's the termination of the law. If I'm in Christ, I love Him. I love His people. You mean you don't sin anymore? No, I don't mean that at all. But I do know this. The love of Christ constrains me. It keeps me. It presses on me. It holds me. It won't let me go in a certain direction. You know, I love that passage of Scripture in Galatians 5:17, where he says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, I can say to every believer, what would you do if God didn't keep you? You would be as wicked and evil as the devil himself. And you know that's true about yourself. If God didn't prevent you, but you can't be that way because you have the Spirit of God. You have a new nature. And you can't do the things that you would do if it wasn't for having the Spirit of God. On the other hand, if you're a believer, you would be without sin. You would never sin again. You would love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and your neighbors, yourself. You'd never break one of His laws. You would do that, but you can't because you have something called the flesh. He's still there. And someone who tries to deny that is not being honest. He is still there. Now, the law was fulfilled by Christ, and Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now listen to this point very carefully. The law is a necessary and permanent enemy of our most dangerous and evil enemy, our own self-righteousness. Now, your sin, listen to me carefully, your sin will never keep you from Christ. Did you know that? Your sin will never keep you from Christ. It's your righteousness that'll keep you from Christ. Your self-righteousness. And self-righteousness, what does the Bible say about our righteousness? Our righteousness, as Isaiah said, are as filthy rags. The law lets me know I have no personal righteousness at all. The only righteousness that I have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the only righteousness I know of, His righteousness. And if I can't see that, it's because I don't have the Holy Spirit. I've just got one old nature that's blind to the things of God. You see, if God gives you a new nature, if He saves you, if you're regenerate, if you're born again, there's things you see that the unbeliever can't see. And one of the things you see is the filthiness of your own righteousness. Every evil person, lost person, believes that they can somehow perform righteousness. They believe that. And every truly righteous person, given the righteousness of Christ, being made righteous, they believe themselves to be evil people. It's always that way. And as long as God's holy law is around, it's going to be impossible for me to have any righteousness other than the righteousness of Christ as my only righteousness before God. Now, in Romans chapter 3, Paul makes this statement. He said, do we make void the law through faith? Do we just set it aside and say it's meaningless and useless? Do we make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Now, let me tell you the one way that you or I can honor God's holy law. And I mean really honor it in a way that God's pleased with it. I'm not talking about just putting up a copy of the commandments in a courtroom or anything like that. The only way a man or woman can truly honor and glorify God's holy law is by faith in Christ. You look to Christ and His obedience as your righteousness before God, as your law keeper. He kept the law for you. And you honor God's holy law. You dishonor God's holy law and bring it down to your standard if you try to be saved by law in any way. What I'm saying by that is, surely God will accept this work of mine. I accept it. And we bring God down to our level. And God's not going to have it. The only way a sinner can honor God's holy law is not by trying to keep it, but by looking to Christ as the one who did keep it and rest in His righteousness as your righteousness before God. Now, somebody said, if you believe that way, that'll lead to sin. Never let anybody sin. You just don't understand what's being said. If you think that, if you think, well, if I believe that way, if I believe that Christ's righteousness really was my righteousness before God and I didn't have anything to worry about, why, I'd go out and sin all I wanted to. I sin a whole lot more than I want to. And my sin, it's not because I look to Christ as my righteousness before God, but I do look to Christ as my righteousness before God. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And when I look to Christ as keeping the law for me, you know what it makes me do? It makes me love Him. It makes me want to please Him. It makes me want to follow Him. It makes me want to be found in Him. Now, I love God's holy law. And it makes me know that the only righteousness I have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of God's law. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, email, or write, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nyberg praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer.
Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.